right now in this moment. Choir says that you are the center of our joy. There is no argument from us. We wholeheartedly agree. Our testimony simply says that if it had not been for that fact that you are, we would not be. God, you made us. You know all about us. But you gave us joy. And God, when we think about anything in life, it starts with you and ends with you. You are the center of it all. You're our universe. You're our sun coming up and our sun going down. You're the moon that lights our way at night. You're the stars and all of the constellations. Can't reach too far and can't go too deep, not touching you. And Lord, what we love about that is you touch back. Yeah, you don't leave us out there guessing. And so, God, we are standing on our feet in celebration to acknowledge that you are. And if you don't mind, Lord, we like to fill in the blanks with our own descriptors. Some of us, you're one thing, and some of us, you're another thing, but to all of us, you're everything. And if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't describe it enough. If we were the most intellectual wordsmiths, Lord, we couldn't come up with enough words. We would bore you with our attempts to be intellectual and to be sophisticated. But Lord, can we just simply say thank you for being everything? When we didn't know what anything was, when nothing existed, you were everything. When we didn't have it, what we were dreaming about is what you were. And so, God, we celebrate that today. Some folk may not understand the level of our celebratory mindset, but we know that it's all about you. So thank you, God. God, what we love about you is not only do you ask the questions, but you give the answers. Thank you, Lord. So God, in this moment, these few minutes that are ours to share, would you again open our eyes and our ears? And would you give us the seed that we need to grow? And Lord, don't only grow me, but grow my family. Grow my friends and grow my enemies. Grow the stranger. Grow that person that wandered in off the street. Grow that person whose name I cannot remember, but whose face will not leave me. Grow that person that I brushed up against. Grow us with this word that is life. We need to hear from you. On this fourth Sunday in October, we need to hear from you. Speak, Lord, we pray. And God, I pray you use me one more time. This is life for me and all I want to do. So God, give me preaching power and authority. Lord, I sure had fun talking to you in the early morning hours. And pray God, they want to hear what we were talking about. Let the folk get nosy today so they can want to hear what we were talking about. Let them lean forward in their pews and crick their necks to eavesdrop on our conversations. And what we shared in private, Lord, let's go public now, that someone would be saved. And again, God, forgive us of our sins. We didn't mean to mess up so bad, but Lord, because you know all about us, it didn't surprise you. So go ahead and fix it again, and we'll live on another day. God be glorified in our lives. The church said, amen. Amen and amen. Before you get too preoccupied, give God some praise by putting your hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Don't let your neighbor outpraise you. Don't let your neighbor love on God more than you. Come on and love on the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you don't know him like I do. You ain't been there like I've been there. You ain't struggled like I struggled. You weren't as low as I was, but God made a difference. That's why I'm shouting. That's why I'm lifting my hand. He brought me from a mighty long way. And I don't feel tired yet. I feel like running on. How many feel like running on? How many feel like pressing your way? How many feel like you've got somewhere to go today? Hallelujah. Look at your name and say, if I take off, don't you grab me. Amen. Loose me and let me go. Hallelujah. I was made to praise him like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They told me I had a big mouth when I was a child. It's because I'm going to praise him loud. They told me I talk too much, but I can't stop talking about it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all done got tired already. You just got here. Amen. We way ahead of schedule. I don't know what happened. Something going on. Don't worry. That's just more time for me. Amen. There will be no early dismissal. Amen. Take my time. Grab your Bibles, Romans 8. God bless you. Thank you for our guest today. Thank you. Your beautiful faces adorn our place, and we're excited to have you with us. And we just praise God for you today. And if you're looking for a place to call home, we're looking for another child.
Amen.
We will adopt you into our family immediately and call you our own. Amen. You don't have to be without a church home again. You go to work tomorrow, you can tell folk, I got me a new home.
Yeah.
He said, what you talking about? You ain't got no money. You can't afford to say, I'm in the church that's going to take care of me. They're going to make life for me whole. Amen. Anybody want whole life?
Woo.
I know I do. I want whole life. You standing by somebody that didn't raise their hand, you ought to hit them with a sharp elbow and say, what is wrong with you? That's whole life. Romans 8. One verse today, and we're going to move along quickly, and you can go on, take care of your business. Dallas don't play till tomorrow night. I ain't in no hurry. Amen. Usher. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. If you will, please, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor. There's always more than one way of looking at things. Amen. You may be seated. That's what I want to help y'all with today. There's always more than one way of looking at things. There is a very human response for all of us and from all of us, Elizabeth, when we are in trouble. And let me say to you, beloved of God, that no matter how sanctified you are, no matter how righteous you are going to have some trouble. Jesus declared, Deacon Davis, that in this life you are going to have trouble. I wish that he had not said that. I really wish that Jesus had come up with some different phraseology of some sort that would not suggest to us so directly and so definitely that we are going to be in trouble. Most of us can remember, I would imagine, that when we were smaller, there were warning signs of the impending dangers that were to come. In fact, if you had siblings or cousins or anybody that hung out with you, how many of you remember hearing this? Ooh, you're going to get in trouble. 10 of y'all look like y'all in that place right now. But I mean, they would say that to us, and we would respond by most of the time saying, so, come on, you hard-headed folk. So, I ain't scared. I don't care. And the fact of the matter is, I really want to encourage you and somewhat instigate to you again that that ought to be your attitude when you get in trouble. Not the kind of trouble that you go looking for, but the kind of trouble that the devil's going to bring you. You do know that there are some circumstances and situations in life that are not of your doing, but it is because the enemy has an assignment on your life. Tell your neighbor, you own the list. Yeah, you're on the hit list of the enemy because the Bible told you you were going to be on the hit list. It told you, the word of God said, that you have an adversary, the devil. His mission in life has not changed because of the economy or because of Obamacare or because of the fact that you're joined the church and have been consistent and you've gotten in the choir, the usher ministry, and you preaching. His mission is still the same, to kill and destroy, to mess with your mind. The Bible reminds you that he is an accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. And it doesn't matter, beloved of God, whether you got your oil or not. It doesn't matter if you won't wear dresses below your ankle. It doesn't matter if you don't put lipstick on. It doesn't matter if you go to church. If you live in the church, the devil still got your assignment. And the fact of the matter is, I want to encourage some of you to understand that you may be looking at this thing the wrong way. Grandmom used to say there's more than one way to skin a cat. I didn't understand what the purpose of cat skinning was, because cats ain't bothered nobody. We don't really have no engagement with cats, but the poor cats got skinned anyway. But I would suggest to you, beloved of God, that some of you are looking at trials, tribulations, and circumstances the wrong way. Paul reminds us, Paul said, listen, the responses to our troubles are human because it happens to us in the human frame. The fact of the matter is, this is the guy, you know Paul, he's the guy that went through the shipwrecks, and he's the guy that was beaten and put in chains. He's the guy that served time in prison for the works of the kingdom. And Paul was honest enough to admit to us, Lewis, that there were times when he despised, despaired, didn't want to live because of trouble. That's his response to trouble. And let me help some of you to understand in these next few moments, you don't have to fake it when you're in trouble. When it hurts, it hurts. When it gets to you, it gets to you. And don't let nobody fool you and tell you that because you're in the body of Christ that your responses to trouble ought to be with a certain steadfastness or a certain facade, as if it doesn't bother you. No, when it hurts, baby, it hurts. And when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. You ain't going to get no help if don't nobody know you need help. And so Paul says, listen, it got so bad for me. It was hard on me that I thought that living was inconvenient. Have you ever been around folk that are in such despair that you can sense that they're on the edge? You've been around folk that talk crazy and say things like, it'd be better for me to be dead. And you've had folks say to you, I wish I was dead. And I don't want to live like this. I don't want to live with this. And you look at them and say, I know you're kidding. And they look at you and say, what makes you think I'm kidding? It was hard. And that's a human response, because that's how I feel. But aren't you glad that you got up one more day? Aren't you glad that you pushed one more time? Paul says, I know what that feels like. Jeremiah comes to mind, Awanda. Jeremiah comes to mind because Jeremiah had it so bad that he developed a whole new reputation for being a crybaby. How many of y'all know folk that cry, as old folks said, the drop of a hat? Why people dropping their hats is another thing I don't understand. But Jeremiah's whole epitaph is listed in the fact that he was a crying preacher. He was crying all the time. When it got to him, he cried. Whenever he was frustrated, he cried. When folk picked on him, he cried. When folk came after him, he cried. And his whole reputation was shaping around the fact that he cried. If you ask Jeremiah, he's going to tell you that's just how I felt about it. How many of you ever looked at somebody and told them, I just feel like crying? Some of y'all trying to be funny. But that's just how he felt about it. And what he's saying is, this is my very human response to what's happening to me. It ain't that I don't trust God. It's not that I don't believe that God's going to bring me through. It's not that I don't believe God is still high and lifted up and sitting on the throne. It's not that I don't still believe that the Lord is my shepherd. It's not that I don't still believe that God will dispatch angels. But in this moment, this is just how I feel about it. How many of you ever told somebody, go and get a little cry and get it out of your system. Go ahead and let it go. Just loose yourself. And the fact of the matter is, it may not only be therapeutic, but it makes sense. But I want to tell you again, you got to be careful that you don't look at it the wrong way. And then the other thing is that the key to our faith is that we would have the kind of faith that is confrontational faith. In other words, what I'm saying is your faith has got to rise to the occasion of your challenges. Amen. We don't want to just talk faith. We're going to have to live faith. And living faith means you got to have the kind of faith that whatever your challenge is, you can confront your challenge. How many of you are willing to admit that you left some challenges in your rearview mirror? You got some things that you should have went on and dealt with then that you do know going to catch up with you after a while. How many know if you don't kill it, it ain't gonna die? Amen. So he reminds us, he said, listen, the simple terminology of the matter is we've got to learn how to have confrontational faith. We've got to live our lives in such a way that whatever the enemy throws at us, we don't run away from it. Again, can I get some of you to admit that there are some things in your life that when the devil came at you, you tried to run and tried to hide and tried to act like it wasn't happening and it didn't change nothing. It's still there. You do know that if you run inside the house and close the door, whatever was outside gonna sit on the porch till you come back outside. Can I get some of y'all to remember your childhood when you ran home and your friends chased you home and you told them you better not come in my yard? They said, that's all right. I'll stand out here on the street. But you got to go to the store tomorrow. You got to go to school. You got to come. You can't live in your house for the rest of your life. Look at your name and say, you got to come back outside. Yeah. You're going to have to face this. And the reality is Job helps us to understand it. I like what Job said, Lewis. Job said, listen, though he slay me. You know what Job said? Job said, God, I know you behind this somehow or another. I know that you got something to do with this. And let me tell you something, beloved of God. There's another way to look at this thing. You got to remember that even though the devil may be present in the matter, God ain't going nowhere. You got to look at this thing a little differently. See, he said, Paul said, listen, I know we've got some despair. I know we've got some trouble going on here, but you got to look at this thing a different way. Rather than give the devil full credit for the assault, you got to give God credit for the anointing that covered the assault. I know what you're trying to do to me, and come on with it, because whatever you do to me, God's got me covered. And Job said, even if it kills me, I'm going to still give God full credit. I'm going to look at this thing in a different way. I'm going to recognize that there is no way God will leave me at a time like this. Kenny Rogers' ministry comes to mind. He looks around the room and says, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. We got four hungry children and a crop in the field. He said, you picked a fine time to leave me. But you know what he does? Remember, God is still God. I believe somewhere within the lyrics of the song, he was trying to give God credit. He said, I'm going to be all right anyhow. You got to understand. Look at your name and say, I'm going to be all right anyhow. Listen, this is a confrontational matter in my life. There is a conflict going on. I am caught up in a struggle here and now. And some of this, I had something to do with it. Some of this, I didn't have nothing to do with it. But I'm going to learn to look at this in a different manner. How many know that if you look at it different,
You'll see it different. He said, listen, we've got these light momentary afflictions. We've got these problems that are happening to us. And we've got to learn how to look at them differently. Somebody tried to fool us into thinking, Bo, that because we were in the church, we were going to get a free pass from trouble. Jesus said, listen, they going to come after you just because of me. Come on, talk back to me, y'all. How many of you have ever been with somebody who got in trouble and you wind up in trouble because you with them? That's why mama told you to watch the company you keep. But you know, when your boy is in trouble, you can't leave your boy. When your girl in a fix, you got to go and take your nails off too. You can't leave your girl. I mean, come on, you can't abandon. I know you just got your hair tight. I know you put a little money into that thing, but they finna jump on your girl. You can't say, I'll see you back at the house. When your girl is in it, when your boy is in it, you got to get on down. Come on, y'all, listen. Wait, some of y'all looking at me. I don't want y'all to go nowhere with me. I mean, when it go down, we got to get down. You can't be talking about I'll be praying for you. You better get in here. How many know that if they don't get in here, when I get finished with them, I'm going to get you? Look at your name and say, that's how it's going down. You see, we in here four deep. Come on, hey, you got it. You doing all right? No, I ain't. I need my friend. David cried, saying, no man cared for my soul. Damn it, David fixed up a lot of people, and he said, y'all do know I'm king. I'll get you. He said, listen, Job says, listen, I'm convinced that God has got something to do with this. Job makes this testimony. We'll be finished here most directly. Job makes his testimony, but Joseph says this. Joseph says, I have come to the conclusion that the thing that y'all meant for evil, God's got something to do with it. Let your name say, I told you God had something to do with this. He said that which you meant for evil, the difficulties that came to my life, the demanding circumstances that were set upon me, I was looking at this thing the wrong way. Rather than shaking my fist at God, I should have been shouting unto him, thank you, Lord. How many know that God's got to trust you with trouble? You got to be the one that God said, is there anybody that can carry this thing for me? Is there anybody that can represent me in such a way that the kingdom will be glorified? Listen, there is a far greater glory, and all of your grief ain't to kill you. Some of these things are to make you strong. These tests, these things have come. And so Joseph says, here's my sure testimony that God is working with this so that I can testify about that. Y'all ain't talking back to me now. Let me hurry along. Joseph reminds me that all of us are going to have to be ready in our lives for some of that, but the Lord. Yeah. Everybody, see, here's why the church is weak and impotent. Here's why the church has fallen asleep. Because we have been duped into thinking that all we going to ever get is sunshine and glory. And we going to always be sitting at the banquet table. We going to always be the first in line. We going to ride around in chariots with 22s on it. And we ain't going to never have to worry about paying our bills. And we ain't going to have no sickness in our body. No, I'm here to tell you right now, you got to prepare yourself for some of that, but the Lord. Yeah, your closing argument would be in all of my trials and tribulation. Yeah, I had cancer, but the Lord. Yeah, they fired me, but the Lord. Yeah, they repossessed my car, but the Lord. Yeah, she left me, but the Lord. My children crazy, but the Lord. My church is jacked up, but the Lord. You got to be ready for your but the Lord. Yeah, you gonna go through some things. Look at them and say, oh, yes, you are. Yeah, some of y'all sitting there rolling your eyes and rebuking the sermon. I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to receive that today. Well, you don't want to be caught unaware. You don't think you're going to be 36, 24, 36 the rest of your life? Don't think you're going to always be top dog. Don't think you're going to always be the queen and the belle of the ball. Don't think you always going to be the Denzel of your generation. Stuff going to start happening in your life. And you got to be, reminded, beloved of God, that all of us going to have some trouble. I don't bother nobody. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't, you ain't got to go nowhere. You can stay home and hell come calling. You ain't got to smoke to get cancer. You ain't got to do anything. You just got to live. And trouble going to come. So he said, listen, he said, what's going to separate us? And here it is. I was going to ask the question, what's going to make you leave? But here it is. He says, what's going to get us? And he asked the question, and I'll be done here most directly. He said, does this mean that he don't love us? If we have trouble. That's where some of y'all church folk become former church folk. Because you have trouble. I tried the church. It didn't make no difference. That's why I stopped going. Looked like I was still in it. Well, some of the in it is because you keep getting in it. Amen. Look at your name and say, take responsibility. He said, does it mean that he don't love us? And notice, Paul does not hold back the punch. If we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or cold, in danger or threatened, does it mean he don't love us? Here's what we do in the human strain. What we do in the human strain is how people treat us. We dictate that to how we think God treats us. Because when people do stuff to us, we immediately start looking for answers or some sort of comfort in our conversation so we can find the course that we need to take. Because when people do stuff to us, we always try to figure out why. How many of you have asked somebody, why are you doing this to me? Why you treat me? Come on, y'all don't want to wave back at me. Let me come over there with y'all. I mean, we do it. Why? What did I ever do to you? You listen, you know you ain't got to do nothing to people sometimes for people to do stuff to you. Now, that's for some of y'all. Some of y'all, just like Brandon said, you reap what you sow. How many have been told, oh, you brought this on yourself? Okay, three of y'all honest. The rest of y'all trying to play me. He said, listen, what does it mean? What is God saying? Can anything separate us? But that's not the real issue. He wants to know, what does this mean in relationship to the relationship? Because, see, some of us, when we don't like you no more, we treat you in a such a way that you are absolutely sure that we don't like you no more. We want our stuff back. Amen. We want our phone number taken out your phone. We unfriend you on Facebook. We want you to know in no uncertain terms that we are unbenefited. Because it's over. And if we were engaged, we want our ring back. We were married. We want our name back. It's getting too close, ain't it? Some of y'all are like, wait a minute, what brought all that on? Stay to the gospel. Don't talk about that, because I'm still in divorce proceeding. We still adding up property. We want you to know in no uncertain terms that we don't love you no more. Teddy Pendergrass made a song about it. I would sing it because y'all know I like these kind of songs. But he said it's a dirty shame. He said we can't be together. We can still be friends. I'll send you your money every month. You can depend on that. But we can no longer be lovers. I'm doing it. They trying to act like they don't remember that song, but they know it. But the point of the matter is, you got to look at this differently as it relates to what's happening to you in the body of Christ. Every one of us needs to look at things differently. Three things, Sandra, and we'll go. Number one, there will always be difficulties. Always. And listen. It is imperative, beloved of God, that you understand that there will be difficulties. Yes, please do. You got listen. He reminds us. He said, "Listen, What does it mean? He said, are we because of our troubles, our calamities, out of favor with God? That's the sub part of the text. It's within the text. He said, does this mean we've lost favor with God? Nobody wants to lose favor with God. Even heathens want favor from God. They cry, Lord, have mercy. They cry, oh God. He said, listen, please understand, there are going to be difficulties. Jesus says, well, beloved, you fellows, y'all hanging around with me. He said, please understand that when you see what's happening, don't think it's strange. He said the dry season is coming for all of us. When the heathens go through a famine, so do the righteous. See, here's the language of heaven. The language of heaven says that he is a fair God. He reigns on the just and the unjust. In other words, whenever there's a period of difficulty, everybody got to pull their load. You just got to hang in there. He reminds us, he said, listen, just because your prayers are not answered speedily and instantly, it doesn't mean that you've been abandoned by God. Just because what you have been waiting for is still waiting for it, and you're still, listen, because you're in the desert. Listen, nobody goes poof in the desert and poof out the desert. There are some steps all of us take to get to our desert places. But somewhere along the line, there's a place called middle. There's some place called I'm coming out. There's a place called going in. There's a place called coming out. But what you got to remember is how you look at it determines how you live through it. He said, I recognize that these are nothing but light and momentary affliction. It's not going to last forever. And you got to remember that difficulties do not mean that you've been disobedient. But here's the flip, Sandra, but sometimes disobedience is your difficulty. That's called flip preaching. You understand what I'm saying? Some of this stuff that's happening to you is because you ain't living right. Y'all going to stop talking to me now. I'm going to talk louder now. Some of this stuff that you're going through is because you're not living right. You want to be a part-time servant, but have a full-time slave for God. Oh, yeah, you want God to always do you right. And you want God to heist up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You want God to flow rivers in your life. And you want God to stretch out the cords of your tent. And you want God to supply all your need. But you see him two or three Sundays out the year. You don't come to his Bible study. You don't worship his name. Your family doesn't worship God. Y'all don't like me now. But you got to recognize that if you ain't true to God, how can you demand he be true to you? You can't just call him because you're in the midnight hour. You got to call him all the time. He said, some of what you're going through is your fault. They wandered in the desert. Why? Because they were hard-headed. Some of where you are is because you put yourself there. Oh, yeah, when you had it going on, God was minimized. When you drove good and was pimping it. When you had the job with your name on the door and you had folk bowing and curtsying to you. But when the layoffs came, you protested to God, how unfair, God, that I should be laid off.
My mama knew you.
Oh, God, I guess maybe we hadn't talked in a while. Oh, I did get beside myself, didn't I? When my land was increased and my cows got fat and my wells were, I did forget you, didn't I? I didn't stop by to see you as often. My tithing turned to tipping. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Well, God, I'll be checking with you. I need thee every hour and every hour. Oh, okay. You might have put yourself in difficulty. Paul then reminds us, he said, listen, God has never failed to fulfill a promise. But here's what the problem is. How do you protest a promise that you don't know? When you know his word, you can talk to him in a language that he understands. Y'all ain't talking to me. You have a God who the Bible declares will hear and answer every prayer. He's a detailed God. Tell your neighbor, he's a detailed God. You sitting by somebody you can't talk to move. Here it is. He says, tasks are going to be tough. Paul reminds us, he said, you do know that I was in a lot of stuff because of God. I've been shipwrecked. I've been chained and I've been beaten. And that ain't easy. Some of y'all don't know what hard is. Amen. But tasks are tough. And not only is it what God is doing in the shadows that you may not understand, but it is what Satan does on the surface that will cause us to stumble and lose our sanity and lose our sight picture. And now somebody quickly said, but you know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. I got you. I feel you, but you do understand that there is a mental sight picture that we get. How many of you have already in your mind determined how you want to come out and how you want it to be when you come out? There ain't nothing wrong with that because the Bible says you can dream like that. But the reality is difficulties come and tasks are tough. But here's the second one. Test and triumph both take time. That's good preaching, Lewis. Test and triumph both take time. You don't win just like that. You got to do some things to win, and they both take time. So there's a time called in the meantime. Yeah, there's a due season. I got that. There's a next season, a new season, a now season. But there's a place that most Christians don't do well. It's called in the meantime. You know, listen, before you can get to the come out, you got to practice how you're going to praise when you come out. Before you can get to the victory, you got to get your dance together. You ever seen folk who get to the victory and don't know how to dance? You ever seen folk do it and don't know what to do when they get there? That's why you got to practice in the meantime. You got to learn how to make your shout of significance even when you're in your struggle. You got to realize now you got to practice your icky shuffle before you score your touchdown. You got to do your Billy White Shoes Johnson before you cross the goal line. And the reason why some of us ain't gonna never have no dance is because we're so stuck in our difficulties that we've lost our direction. But God said, if you press toward the mark, look at your name and say, I'm not quitting. Yeah, I got a triumph waiting on me. I've got a more than conqueror clause over my life. I'm just about done now. He says, also remember, not only are the difficulties, but you got to learn, watch this now, you got to learn the detours. Yeah, you got to learn how to get around some things. This does not suggest to us that we are avoiding it altogether, because obstacles and oppositions do exist in every life, but you got to learn how to navigate through these things, because when they come in your life, you got to have a plan of alteration. You got to have an alternative plan. You got to say, okay, now if this happens, here's what we're going to do. You know, how many of y'all remember when you got on the aeroplane, that the flight, you got on there and they did the pre-flight instructions. All of that stuff they were telling you is, so when something happens, here's what we're going to need y'all to do. How many of you ever been around folk? You sitting on a plane and they sitting there playing with their iPod and they sitting there doing other things. Listen, when I sit by people like that, I say to myself, when this goes down, if you grab me, I'm gonna bust you in your head. Because you wasn't paying attention. The lady up there showing you how to fasten the seatbelt and what to do when the oxygen mask come down and how to put the little life preserver and get you on. Look, when this thing go bad and you one of them people screaming and shouting, we might as well knock you out so that's one less person falling in the aisle so we can get on out of here safely. Look at your name and say, you better listen to the instructions. Because the reality is obstacles and oppositions are going to come. How many of you know you got some folk that are close by you even right now that are not for you? You got folk in your own family that don't want to see you succeed. You got folk that everybody who say they praying for you ain't praying for you. But he said, listen, you got to have a plan to get around those kind of things. Because when those things happen, and they are going to happen, you need to know that God will show you a way of escape. You got to understand that when trials and tribulations come, it's not because God has abandoned you. It's because God has anointed you. God said, I'm sending my best soldiers to the front line. You do know that some folk are not battle tested. Some folk don't know how to put on the armor of God. Some folk don't know how to swashbuckle. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you a swashbuckler? You got to learn how to do that thing. You got to kind of get your arrow flinned. You got to be able to get in there. Ain't no need of carrying a sword if you don't know how to use a sword. Ain't no need of putting on battle armor if you ain't going to get in a fight. Ain't no need of you learning how to box if you ain't going to fight somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you got to be qualified. Because when these things happen, only the strong will survive. There is opposition. Now learn even now that when opposition comes, it's an opportunity. I feel my help coming, Jennifer. You understand that when opposition comes, it presents an opportunity. You do know you build your reputation on getting involved. Say amen, somebody. That's why we know that Sister Jess is a bully, because we've heard the New Darrington stories. We heard how Jess used to go around picking fights. Her and her sister Cruella DeVille went around picking fights with people in Darrington. Even Brother Thomas told us, he testified, he said, Pastor, them two when they were growing up, good God from Zion. Addison said, that's how he know there's a God, because if them Davis sisters can get saved. And I'm here to tell you now, you need to build your reputation. Look at her signifying over there now. I believe she want to fight somebody today, but listen here, hold your peace, Lord. Please understand, look at your name, tell you build your reputation by getting involved. Listen, if you can't engage, you don't have no experience. You got to learn how to fight the good fight. Come here, Paul, and talk to Timothy. He said, Timothy, let me tell you one thing, son. You got to learn how to endure hardness like a good soldier. You can't be wimping out. Slap your neighbor and tell him, don't be wimping out now. We're in the fight of our lives. Our ministries are in trouble. We're losing disciples along the journey. We've got to get some experienced fighters in here. We don't need the fool fighters. We need the faith fighters. We need some folk who gonna get in here and fight this thing all night long. Look at your name, tell them, you got to hang in there all night long. You can't just fight 5 minutes. This thing may go on for a while. You got to learn how to hold on in there. You got to learn how to stay in the fray. You can't be running back to the water cooler talking about I'm thirsty. You got to drink the blood of your enemies sometime. You got to learn how to fight a good fight. And he said, listen, you got to be a soldier. Look at your name and tell them, we need some soldiers around here. We don't need no more sophomoric singers. We need some soldiers in our choir. We need soldiers on our usher ministry. We need soldiers in the food bank. We need soldiers in outreach. We need soldiers to lift our offering. We need soldiers, soldier, soldier. Look at your name and tell them, God, I'm your loin. You got to remember, when opposition comes, that's your opportunity, because you'll never know how you can fight until you get in a fight. Look at your name, tell me, don't be talking no good game. Whole lot of folk can talk a good game and can't do nothing. But the only way we going to know what you got is to build your reputation. Then he said, you got to understand that though there are difficulties and detours, he said, this is a demanding life. And this is not, the Bible said, he reminded them, this is not for the faint of heart. He said, a whole lot of folks started out with us but couldn't meet muster. They couldn't pass the test. But look at your name, tell them, there are demands on disciples. Yeah, he reminds, he said, listen, two things and I'm gone, Sandra. He said, please understand, for all of us, it's going to require personal sacrifice. Listen, aren't you sick of people trying to tell you about what you ought to be doing and they ain't doing nothing? Everybody walk around trying, you know, if you're the real Christian. No, where your personal sacrifice at? You got to understand, beloved of God, he didn't put it in you so he couldn't draw it out of you. He put it in you to draw it out of you. That's why God gives us these hearts. That's why God gives us muscles. That's why God gives us these bones. And that's why God houses us in the flesh. Listen, I cut my finger the other day, a paper cut. I don't know how I did it, but it's healing. And I recognize now that sometimes getting wounded reminds me that I can be healed. Sometimes it's what hurts that helps me the most. And so he said, listen, there are some personal sacrifices. Come here, Adam. Let me talk to you for a minute. Adam reminds us that though he is the first one here on the earth, he recognizes that he's got to keep himself true to God. And I would, some of you would understand in this hour that you got to be true to God. You can't make excuses for other people leading you in the wrong way. You got to learn how to do it. Like grandma said, every tub got to stand on its own bottom. And sometimes, beloved of God, you will never get more out than you're willing to put in. Look at your name and say, you got to put something in there. You got to stop reaching in trying to get a freebie all the time. You got to learn how to make some personal sacrifices. Come here, Abraham, and talk to me. Abraham said, listen, I was minding my business and God sent me an email talking about take my beloved son. He said, I wish God had only said to me, take your son, because Ishmael would have went that day. But he said, take the one you love, the one you care about. Can you look at your neighbor and say, you know, some folk don't mind giving up what they don't love. But if you really love something, that's personal sacrifice. That's why for some of us in the church, we'll give God anything. We'll give God anything in the offering. We'll serve God any kind of way in our ministry. We'll show up anytime. But if you make some personal sacrifice. And so Abraham said, I took that boy and made my way up the mountain. The boy looked at me and said, Daddy, I know you're old and you've been around for a while, but I think you left some necessary things on the way up here. And he looks at Isaac and said, listen, the Lord will provide. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you got to stop using that as an excuse. You got to stop making excuses. I'm not saying that Abraham made an excuse, but too many of us are not making personal sacrifices. Too many of us are sitting around talking about the Lord will make a way somehow. But you're the one that's in the way. You got to learn how to make your personal sacrifice. Some of us ain't gave up nothing for the Lord in so long because we're selfish and self-centered. It's all about us. And as long as I'm driving what I want to drive and wearing what I want to wear and living where I want to live, to God be the glory. But when was the last time you gave up something that really hurt? When was the last time you gave up something that you can really miss? Y'all don't want to talk to me now, but it's personal sacrifice in this demanding life. You don't believe me? Come here, Jesus, we're going home. The Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But Jesus said, Lord, I'll do it. He reminds us that it requires personal sacrifice. And personal sacrifice means it ought to be something from myself. And so Jesus told his disciples, he said, boys, we got to go back to Jerusalem. We got to go back down there because there is a sacrifice to be made. The boys looked at him and said, Lord, say it ain't so. You do remember they told you if you come back down there again that they're going to kill you. Jesus, I believe, looked at them and kind of throwed a little sly wink and said, we must go back. And how many of you know that if you go back, God's going to get the glory? Some of us are missing the glory of God because we keep avoiding our assignment. But look at your name, say, neighbor, until you do it, it can't be done. There are some assignments that's got your name on it. There are some things that are required that only you can give. I see Jesus now making his way through his trial. I see Jesus now making his way through the courtroom. I see Jesus now when they beat him all night long. But how many know that sometimes when they beat you down, surely the Lord will pick you up. Look at your name, say, neighbor, I've been down before, but look at me now. God picked me up, turned me around. He made a way out of no way. Aren't you glad right now? Look at another name, say, neighbor, I've come too far to turn back now. I've been over my bridges and my troubled waters. I was sinking deep in sin, but the Lord picked me up. He will make a way. Won't God do it? Look at another name and say, neighbor, I ain't scared now. After all I've been through, I've learned how to fight a good fight. After all I've been through, I've sharpened my sword. After all I've been through, I can go the distance now. And so they took my Jesus and stretched him wide, put nails in his hand, stretched him wide, put a crown on his head, stretched him wide, and he bled. How many know he bled? But there's power in the blood. And when he bled, he died. Anybody know he died? Say, he died. No, no, look at your name. Say, neighbor, he died. He died. But early, early, one Sunday morning, didn't he rise?
didn't he rise? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may go down, but I will rise. I may lose, but I will win. Because the power, there's power, there's power. Anybody got power? Anybody want power? Can you say power? Power, 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 power. Say yeah, say yeah. Look at that thing, stare at that thing, work at that thing, pray at that thing. But there's another way to look at this. It won't kill me. It's going to make me better. It won't destroy me. It's going to make me better. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Did he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Look at your name. Say, neighbor, I feel better. So much better. I'm all right now. I've been through my storm. I've been through my test. I'm all right. I'm all right. Anybody all right? Anybody all right? Say joy. Say peace. Say hope. Say love. Say Jesus. Jesus. Say yeah. 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 Another way to look at it. You can't get a grade if you don't take the test. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, after all you've been through, you're going to go home with an incomplete. No. I'm going to get something. If I had to fill it out myself. Listen. He said, I didn't get the last one, Sandra, but I got to throw it at you. You know I always run out. The process can be slow. That's really where I wanted to set myself up. Because with personal sacrifice, but the process can be slow. Some of you are frustrated today because you've been in the process more than two Sundays. Some of you have been looking for a job for more than 3 weeks. Some of you have been in that pain more than a month. Some of you can't seem to fix your marriage. You can't seem to get your children under parental control. But can I remind you today that sometimes the process can be slow. Listen, I got some stuff I've been faxing God about. I done Twittered him and emailed him. The process is slow. And I made up my mind that I'm going to ride it out. And sometimes, beloved of God, when the demands come upon us, we feel like, what now? Some of us have been in so many storms that we think that we are the weatherman of the church. We can forecast it. We look at folk and they try to give us their testimonies. And before they finish, we tell them, shut up. You ain't been through nothing. Sit down. Let me tell you something. You think that's bad? I got scars. You think you take two pills? I got a medicine cabinet. See, some of us just got to learn that the process can be slow. But can I tell you something? This was my real shout right here. The prize will be significant. I really wanted to get that far, but I got happy. The prize, the Bible said, therefore laid up for me. Look at them and say, that's mine right there. It is a crown that shall be given on that day.
laid up for me, the Lord will remember.
Prize will be significant. Don't forfeit your prize. There's always another way to look at things. So tomorrow when it happens, and it's going to happen, next week when it happens, when your child makes the newspaper, when your husband comes out of left field or your wife blows a gasket. And fellas, you do know, and we better leave that alone. Let's just keep it even. All of us are subject to fits of fancy and flights of foolishness. But the prize is so significant. You know, my grandmother and your grandmama said it too, so I know neither one of them came up with it, but they would say things like, I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey. But can I tell you, you can't say you're on a journey if you don't ever go nowhere. The prize. I'm looking for the prize. We're going to go home. It's time to go. I like, but they don't make it like they used to. Do they even still make Cracker Jack? It ain't like it used to be. I mean, to me, them boxes you seen this big when you was a kid, you know. Anybody figured out the real way to open Cracker Jack? From the bottom. See, I'm going to eat the popcorn anyway. But that whistle is in there somewhere. I know that little whistle is in there. So let's just flip this thing over. And did you notice how hard they make it to open it from the bottom? You know, they had that little perforated thing at the top. Y'all can do that. Y'all want to. I used to go get a knife and saw into it. I cut my finger one time opening a box of Cracker Jack. And mama said what every mother would say. How stupid can you get? You know, when they asked me that question, I start filling in the blanks. I said, there's a lot more stupid to come. When they said, how stupid? Let me see. I think of something else. Oh, come on now. Some of y'all didn't ask y'all that question too. How many know that your story ain't over yet? You still got some Forrest Gump left in you. So here's what it is. We're going to go. Here's what it is. Stop whining because you got difficulty. There's another way to look at this. It goes to the simple text. It's later on in the story. If God be for us. That's how you look at it. That's how I look at everything. Everything. Everything that happens in my life now, there's a God piece in there somewhere. I've told you all this before, and I'll tell you again. Let's stand on our feet while we're rising. I tell you always, you got to learn two things in life. More about God and more about yourself. In everything that happens in your life, learn more about God and more about yourself. So when you leave here today, please remember there's always another way of looking at things. I remember when I was a soldier, Brother Thomas, on the weekend not having any money. When you ain't got no money, what do? You stay home. And if you stay home, what happens? You stay out of trouble. So I start looking at it that way. I start thinking, well, if I ain't got no money, I can't do nothing wrong. I can't get no trouble. I can't go nowhere. So I stay. I mean, in the military, they promise 3 hots and a cot. So they're going to feed you, and you got somewhere to sleep. So I figure, man, I'd be a barracks rat. That's what we call it when you got no, you're a barracks rat. But I stayed out of trouble. Now, when I had money, the possibilities were endless. I could end up anywhere in New York. Trust me. I mean, you know, I'm 100 miles from the city, but we found out we're in New York City a whole lot of time. Till Miss Mitchell and the kids came. I had to look at that a different way too. I said, well, okay, Lord. See, you got to look at things a different way. Some of y'all complaining because you don't have a lot and don't go. Well, think about it this way. Might be keeping you alive. Because a lot of times my friends would come back in trouble and wind up having to see the commander. And the first thing would come out my mouth is, man, I'm glad I didn't go with y'all. Yeah, I remember one weekend, the Highland Heights, the Highland Park police brought back about 9 soldiers.
I knew all nine of them. And the first thing my sergeant said, well, how'd they miss Leroy? Leroy didn't go. Saved my career, I think. I mean, sometimes you got to look at this thing another way. And even right now in this moment, you're going to have to make some personal sacrifices. Because you cannot ask of God what you're not willing to give back to God. You got to go for it. And if you're here today and you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior in your life, you don't know Jesus like we know Jesus. You know, those of us who were shouting a little while ago, we were shouting because we know him. We were waving our hand and stuff. You go, what is wrong with them folks? We know him. That's why we can say, "Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord," because we know him. He's no stranger to us. We have been to the cemetery just like you. We've been in the hospital. We've been in the credit score department where our score was so low. They told us, don't ask. We won't tell. We've had that happen to us just like you've had it happen to you. The Bible said there is no temptation, and I like to add trial or tribulation or circumstances, that's not come to you, that's coming to everybody. Look at your name and tell them, you have no idea what I've been through. I wear it well. How many of y'all wear it well? You ain't showing half of what you've been through today. But it's because we know him that we going to make it. And so if you don't know him today, you ought to come. I'm going to let you go home. It's 9:45. It's time to go. Is there somebody today? Somebody, anyone, somebody, maybe 3 or 4 of y'all. We've got a new project we're unleashing here at Greater Brookville Church where we're going 52 weeks for 52 souls. And so we're going to pack this place out. We're going to do it a different way. But we believe that if you don't know him today, this is your day, your soul number one. Would you come today? That old song we sang just simply says, come to Jesus just now. He will save you just now. Would you come if you're here today and you don't know him in the pardon of your sin? You're looking for a savior, not for a servant or a slave. You're looking for a savior. We invite you to come. Are you here today? Our second offering today is one of the things we talked about in the Christian Academy this morning. We talked about the restoration of God. And the Lord will restore you. The Lord will revive you. The Lord will meet you just where you need him to meet you. So if you've been in the church for a time and you just need God to refresh some things in your life, you need God to remind you of the redemptive order on your life. Remind you that you are the chosen. You are that peculiar, particular type. You're just what the Lord was looking for. You're just what he died for. But you've had some issues happening in your life and you felt like you fell and you're too far from it now. Listen, you may not be right under the cross, but the shadow reaches mighty far. You can come back, be restored, be reinstated. The ministry of reconciliation is one of the greatest ministries of the church. You qualify today. We don't particularly care where you came from, but we know where you ought to be going. If you'll walk with us, I believe we can get there together. Would you come? And then we say this to you. If you're looking for a church home, our doors are open. We've been waiting for you because, again, we've got a new ministry assignment. You can get us started with a positive one today. Would you come today and make Greater Brookville Church your home? Some mighty fine folk sitting around here. Good-hearted folk, loving folk who want to help you along the way. We talked about it again in Christian Academy this morning. He said, listen, this is what you do for each other. Warn each other every day and encourage each other every day. And make sure that we reinforce what we believe every day. We want to help you with your everyday life. We don't want you just to be a Sunday disciple. We want you to be a part of us every day. Would you come today if you're standing in this place? And let the Lord use you. You need a church home. Wandering around, going from ministry to ministry. Call it home today. Our doors are open. Let's pray together. Would you
prepare your hearts to pray. If you have special requests that you want to make unto the Lord, put them on the balcony of your heart. Our prayer box is available for those who wish to make special prayers unto the pastor. We take those cards with us and we read them, and we do indeed attend to them daily. We've already seen many prayers answered. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to. But I believe that the Lord is still in the business of lordship and prayer answering, still a way maker and all of that. I just believe that when you say it to God, he hears it and he'll do something about it. How many know the Lord will do something about it? Yeah, I do. And I know he'll do something about it for you. Even if you don't know it yourself, I'm going to prove it to you. As I live and breathe, he's no respecter of person. He'll do something about it. Put it on the forefront of your hearts. Lay it before the Lord now as we bow our heads together all over this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, look upon this people as they have lifted their voices in their meditations. Their private and intimate concerns are coming up before you. You said, Lord, that you not only hear, but you answer. Somebody today, Lord, needs an answer, needs it right early. And some of us, Lord, have learned the patience of waiting. And so, God, we don't even mind today if you take care of the more pressing needs. We know you'll get around to us. We're okay. We've got a place to live and a little piece of change, and we got a car to drive and a way to get around. So it's nothing really major. Our bodies are okay. Family seems to be doing all right, Lord. Just a couple of little things, you know. You don't mind, Lord, if we talk to you like this, do you? Because we're not trying to impress you with the eloquence of our speech. But we're lifting before you the very concerns of our hearts. On my job, Lord, I need you because everybody on my job ain't saved. And, Lord, sometimes it's a hostile environment. In my home, Lord, my children, my spouse, I've got people coming and going, so I need you there. And I need you to use me, Lord, as a vessel so that I can indeed be that fragrance that goes out into all the world. And so when people see me, they'll see you. I need you, Lord, when I'm doing ministry works, because sometimes it's frustrating and sometimes I feel undervalued. But I need to be reminded of my worth. So I need you, God, to keep on putting people around me to encourage me and push me in the right direction. Not to push me away, not to shun me, but to make sure, Lord, I am in the right way. Lord, I need you when I travel, because it's a dangerous road and a dangerous world. I need you when I'm standing at the ATM with my back to the world. I need you, Lord, when I'm standing in the check line. I need you, Lord, because I can't see everything. And the enemy is so busy. We need you, Father, in our church, in our ministers, in our deacons, our trustees, our ushers, all of our family, our choir. We need you. So we simply say, Lord, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but Lord, deliver us from evil. For we are proud to declare that thine is the kingdom, both the power and the glory. Thank you, Father. Heal those who are sick among us. Restore the broken. Build up that which is torn down. Keep kissing your children on their face, putting your arms around them. Bereaved families need you. Wayward children need you. Mama needs you. Daddy needs you. Put your arms around Greater Brookville Church and let us remember that 52 lives are critical. And somewhere out there among us is number one. And so God, use us, we pray. in the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Give God some praise and hug at least four or five folks.